Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my Lord and my Redeemer. Okay. We have the Isaiah this morning, 11, 1 through 10. A shoot shall come up out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt about his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
So how's your Advent going? We're a week into it. A week into preparing for what's coming. But I ask you, what all do we really know about what's coming? This morning, each of our scripture readings gives us a glimpse of what's coming. Each reading shows us part of the bigger picture of which we are to prepare for. Each part is radically different from the other, yet only when they are put together do we see the whole picture of what's coming. And so, how might seeing the whole picture of what's coming affect our Advent preparations? And what does my preparation for recent knee surgery have to do with you preparing for what's coming? The Isaiah passage that Michelle read reveals the part of the picture that tells about the promised Messiah who will be coming to establish peace on earth. Harmony and peace for the world and for all the people living in it. The language and the imagery, as you heard, are beautiful, almost poetic. But as wonderful as this vision is, it's only part of the picture. The other part is a bit more difficult, yet just as important, and comes to us from the gospel according to Matthew. Please stand if you are able. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, and the chaff he will throw and burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God. Please be seated. So the picture of what's coming that we see in Matthew is strikingly different from what we see in Isaiah. Isn't it? Such a contrast. But these two passages are juxtaposed and put together for a reason. It's because we need them both to prepare for the whole picture of what's coming. While Isaiah shows us the kingdom of the coming Messiah, it will look in terms of peace and harmony and unity, where predators and prey will live together, and where even the most vulnerable among humans will grow and develop without being harmed. Isaiah's words were put on canvas by Edward Hicks, an American painter, Quaker, and preacher who lived in the Philadelphia area in the early 1800s. His painting is called The Peaceable Kingdom. Maybe you've seen it. Hicks actually painted 62 variations of that same theme, inspired by the words from Isaiah. Sometimes he would incorporate contemporary events, like the version that he did that showed the early settler William Penn talking peace with some of the Native Americans. Clearly, Hicks was a forerunner of 20th century theologian Karl Barth, who advocated ministers preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. That might be an iPad in the other. It's easy to get our hands around the picture of what's coming, as painted in the words by the prophet Isaiah. It fits with what we want to come. It's what we want to prepare for. The Isaiah passage is nice, just as Christmas is nice. Nice music, nice food, nice decorations, nice family. Christmas is just nice. We love it, we want it. And as part of the reality of what's coming, so certainly we should prepare for it. But if we stopped there, we'd be missing something. Actually, we'd be missing a lot. We'd be missing the other half of the picture, the part revealed to us in Matthew. If Isaiah is the easy on the eyes part of the picture, then Matthew is the hard on the eyes part of the picture. The imagery in Matthew makes us anxious and uncomfortable. The language is harsh and jarring, painting a picture of hard work, pain, and discomfort, judgment, separation. The appearance of John the Baptist is an unsettling image. He's in the wilderness calling like a madman for people, religious people, to repent. John the Baptist is preparing the way. But make no mistake, he is no Santa Claus. After all, his ugly Christmas sweater is made of itchy camel's hair, and his fruit cake is filled with crunchy locusts. The Matthew passage is agitating and warring compared to Isaiah's calm and peace. But please understand, these are not separate pictures, but the whole picture of what is approaching. And it is what we Christians are called to prepare for in this Advent season. Hear it in the words of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. You brood of vipers, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree that dares not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he is clearing the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. If you ever had a sense that Christmas wasn't all sweetness and light, these verses from Matthew confirm your sensing. Peace, harmony, and unity are coming, and so are hard work, pain, and discomfort. So during Advent, we prepare for the whole picture of what's coming. The promised Messiah from the house of David, who wants nothing more than to bring peace, harmony, and unity to everyone, everywhere. Will we prepare for that coming? And the promised Messiah who seeks repentance, faithful service, and commitment, will we prepare for that coming? It's all part of the same coming. When I think of the whole picture of what's coming, and the preparations that God calls us to make, I think of the preparations for my recent knee surgery. As most of you know, I recently had knee surgery. What some of you may not know is that that particular surgery was the third surgery that I've had on the same knee. So from my past experiences, I knew what was coming. I knew of the pain, the unpleasantness, the hard work. I knew intimately and firsthand the difficult part of the picture, but it was not the whole picture. I also knew that I was going to hike another 14er. I knew I was going to run and play with my young granddaughter. I knew I was going to walk on the beach, the easy on the eyes part of the picture. Both are real, and both are part of the preparation for what was coming. As part of my preparation, I emailed a good friend who I'd known since seminary and asked him to send me a couple Bible verses that he thought would be particularly good for me for my upcoming surgery and recovery. And while I liked what he sent, my preparation continued. One morning, I woke up before dawn, and after taking care of the pain of the leg so badly needing the upcoming surgery, I crawled back into bed and started thumbing through my Bible, reading a passage here and there, until I came to a verse that I nearly couldn't believe. It was so perfect for me, so perfect for my situation. Isaiah 58:11. Here it is, Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, a spring of water, whose water never fails. Unbelievable. Unbelievable because it was so right for me. Unbelievable because it was a new verse to me. Unbelievable because it came from my mere browsing and God's leading. Can you believe that? Being led by God to Isaiah 58:11 was just the beginning. I copied it into my iPhone. I committed it to memory. It became a part of me to read, to call to mind, anytime, anywhere. It was with me in my final days of preparation. It was with me in pre-op and post-op. It was with me when somehow they couldn't get that pain managed, and then when it was. It was with me in the early days of recovery at home and in the continuing rehab. It is with me still. Isaiah 58:11 is helping me through the tough times, the pain, the hard work, and is helping me celebrate the idyllic times, looking forward to that walk on the beach and hike in the mountains. In many ways, that verse became a little like the Star of Bethlehem, which guided those who were looking for the Christ child, the star which took them through such a difficult journey, through rough terrain, miles after miles, to the absolute joy of finding, at last, the Prince of Peace. I tell you about my experience in preparing for knee surgery and recovery because I strongly believe that what helped me can help you. Whatever you are going through, and as my good friend Janie Cantine said, we're all going through something. Whatever you are preparing for, this can help. I encourage you to take advantage of it, to find your own Star of Bethlehem that guides you through the rough times and reminds you of the idyllic times. So here's a little cheat sheet of how to do it. Find a comfortable place to sit, or you can lie down, whatever is most relaxing for you. The only thing you'll need is a Bible. Just hang out with your Bible and browse around, reading here and there. I'm confident that God will do for you what he did for me. He will lead you to the verse that will blow your socks off, because it is so unbelievably right for you and whatever you are preparing to go through. And I'll be excited. I'll be so excited to hear what happens for you. So feel free to text me, email, call, share with me, if you want to, your experience and that find that God led you to. You may even want to make chilling with your Bible part of your preparation for Christmas. The whole picture of Christmas, the unified message, the easy part and the difficult part. We need both the Isaiah and Matthew passages to have a full picture of what's coming. And as we approach day by day, drawing closer to Christmas 2016, how we might choose to prepare. Amen.